And welcome to the Pitmas Podcast, episode number 172. My name is Angelo, and I'm joined tonight with Will.
Greetings.
And Crash.
I'm here.
Yeah, Mike's back.
Bandicoot.
Is Mick Foley's catchphrase my new outro?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you do not get to say have a nice day. That'd be too cool.
Not Bang Bang either?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm not allowing it.
Dude Love?
You
if
are
you
definitely
dance,
not Dude Love.
I might allow it.
Anyway, sorry for those on the stream. We was a couple minutes late tonight, and that was because of audio issues.
It is true.
Yep. We wasn't putting out any sounds, so yeah, that was bad.
Well, I mean, you had moved your rig.
Yeah, I had to move the entire rig to do the commentary up at Titan Game Shop over the weekend. So when everything gets hooked back up, I have to reprogram everything, and I kind of forgot.
Thank you for your honesty.
But yeah, we were talking a little bit there about pre-releases, and you know, this is our pre-release show, and that's pretty much mostly what we're going to talk about, at least for the first part of it. Mine is pretty simple. You can watch it all on video. I did
That's
commentary.
Awesome. That's great.
Up at Titan Game Shop. We had a buddy of, it was weird because our normal spotter, we didn't realize that his Civil War reenactment, weekend fell on the same week as his,
Who's the Civil War reenactor?
Plazek. Dude, and he looks so perfect
no
in the uniform.
Shit.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it looks great.
Do you want to pull it up for him?
No, yeah, it's okay. I already have it in my head.
Dude, he looks like he belongs.
Is he blue or gray?
Blue.
Good for him.
Yeah, he Atta looks boy. Like he belongs 100%.
Yeah, no doubt. That's so sweet.
We had no spotter, and Dave was kind of my ride up there that night, so I was like, dude,
in the swell?
Do you want to possibly go ahead and be our spotter tonight? And he was so pumped about it. Like, I kept apologizing to him. That's Buttercup for those who, you don't know him on Twitter. I kept apologizing because I'm like, dude, I'm sorry you didn't get to play tonight. And, you know, I know you wanted to. And he's just like, dude, I'm getting the same shit as me 3-1-ing and I didn't pay for nothing. Like, this is awesome. Yeah. A free pizza, free pop.
Yeah, pretty good for him. Yeah. Definitely the run goods.
Yeah, so I, you know, that at least made me a little bit happy that he was okay with it. The actual stream, it was probably the least ready I was for a pre-release.
Really?
I hit a few days of work right in a row at the end of the week, and they were long days, and I didn't have as much study time on the set as I was expecting.
Did you work Friday?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so
that's different.
It was pretty tough for me to, you know, get everything down, but I think we got ourselves through it pretty well. I haven't gotten a check on the numbers, but I assume they're probably right around where they always are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, probably peaked out between 60 and 80 people. And, you know, that's pretty good.
yeah, shit, we get a Buttercup.
Yeah.
Enjoy your concert. Bye.
Yeah, bite me, bro.
I think we all wish we were there where you are, but we have a job to do.
I don't know. Like, don't get me wrong. I'd like being at the concert for Disturbed, but I can give a shit about Breaking Benjamin.
I'm dealing with a slight ear infection. I don't want to go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was my weekend. Like, I did the pre-release, commentary. I didn't get a chance to play because soreness. Mm. Big one, soreness.
Yeah.
Cause I'll explain about the work later. But, you know, it was electrical. So it revolved around me in a lot of crawl spaces.
Oh, crawl spaces.
And way
okay.
up on ladders.
Well, at least it wasn't hot wire.
You would think. Will, how was your weekend? Or, I'm sorry, how was your pre-release?
My pre-release was not the one I wanted to have.
Ooh.
I had a pool, and I looked at it, and I tried really hard to make a deck I wanted. I tried really hard to make a deck I wanted to play, and, you know, looked at my red, and it was all right, and then I looked at my blue, and it was terrible, and my black and my green were also very bad as well. So
how was your white then? White was a good color.
Yeah, white was probably the best color on the weekend for sure.
I think green was legitimately, like, after
really?
Everything I saw, I thought green was the best color on
See,
the weekend.
See, I saw a lot of white-green at the top tables of our store, so I just assumed it was the white doing the work, but,
It very well could have been the green.
So I built white-red, and I had very bad two drops. I was running two copies of the artifact 2/1 and just like nothing
that,
really
that helps your delirium though.
It did really help with delirium. I did turn 3 delirium in a game
there
with
you go.
The,
That's the reason
the Eldrazi 3/2 effect that he's like a 0/3 for
yeah, and when he dies you get a 3/2.
No, when he comes into play, you get a 3/2,
okay,
and then
yeah.
he flips into a 3/5 and gives all your guys vigilance. So that was happening in one game, but Yeah, my deck lacked power level. I didn't have like Thalia or anything like that. I didn't have strong human synergies to go with my, okay. I did have the one Thalia or Thalia's Lieutenant, right? So like, that's a sweet card. The one that puts +1/+1 counters.
That's Thalia's Lieutenant, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
On all your humans and then gets +1 counters when you, yeah.
For some reason the, champion Cathar was in my head.
I see.
The flash green white, like, oh, did you just flash green, but. Mm-hmm. No, okay.
But like, I had no removal, none of my colors. It was pretty tough. So, yeah. Just like, tried to play and get people when they did not, operate as a deck, basically. And when people operated, I lost. I did get to hit a one outer in game one against Broderick, which was pretty cool.
He did.
A one outer.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I was dead next turn to his clearly superior army, and I had no viable attacks in any way whatsoever, and I hit the angel of 4/6 tap your fucking team down.
That's a good angel.
and that was that. So I ended like 2-3, and I started 2-0, and then just like lost. And had some consistency issues throughout the day or whatever, but just like I was jealous every time I looked over at another table.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I just like, I know that this deck could maybe have gone 4-1 if I had good pairings and, played the wheels off of it and had good draws the whole day. But like, I had a mediocre day. So like, it was cool, but I had no prize packs, which is something I just haven't done in a long time.
It happens, man.
So,
you might be hitting your pre-release run bads like I had for a year there.
Right, yeah. I mean, I understand.
It just happens.
I definitely...
3-2, though. I mean, I can tell where you was playing because you said 3-2.
2-3.
2-3.
2-3.
Okay, I was going to say 3-2 and no packs. Like, I can tell where you're playing just by that.
No, they had packs all the way down.
Oh, they did?
All the way down to like...
That's
like
10th place, I think.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, of 23. It was like 11 of 23 or something like that.
That's not bad then, almost half.
Yeah, no, it was good. I thought Prize Pat was good. It's been pretty consistent there. So,
that's cool. I know the one time I went over there, I went like 5-1 in a pre-release and walked out with 3 packs and I was flaming pissed.
Well, I could see how that happens.
And it was because like one round I got pared down because they put in a result wrong.
Mm.
And it was like round 4.
Well, that's brutal.
And so when they fixed the result, I still had a 5-1 record. But
your breakers
were
just
terrible.
The worst of them
and
all.
And it doesn't go by record over there. It goes by placing.
Yeah. I don't know. They had, I think they had 42 packs in the prize pool or something like that for 23 players. So, but it was like, I really liked what I saw. Aside from,
liked what you saw over there.
Here. aside from the fact that I saw just the white rarity be really good, like Thalia be incredible and,
Thalia was good.
The Griselda, whatever, Griselda, the 4-3, or the 4-3 first strike.
Gisella,
that's what she is.
She's
good
sick.
Lord.
She is sick.
So like, just definitely there are a little bit more, I win cards in this one than maybe there were in the last set, but I still think there's a ton of play and all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to go over the numbers later, but like from what I looked at and everything, this really feels like a Prince format to me instead of a Pauper format. Where
it might be.
Your top end cards can take games for you, where like the last format
was definitely Pauper.
Yeah, like play skill depended on everything.
Sure.
And this one feels like you could just open that rare where you just go, I win.
Mike. Yeah, maybe.
Mike,
oh my God.
Did you do some pre-releases this weekend?
I did. I did 2.
All right. I know I was at one of them.
Yeah,
I was
and Will was at the other.
And Will was at the other. Okay.
On the midnight, I ended up going 3-1.
Okay.
Played against Chris Hafner in the final round with both a 3-0. He's not
going to
draw.
No,
so.
He's not going to draw. So hilarious, that dude.
Yeah, I was on an aggro red-white deck that just like had the vanilla 2-drops and an always watching.
Yeah, that would have made my deck better.
So like, I really didn't get a good feel for the set because like, most of my creatures were just generic things.
Yeah, like, you had... What, 2 or 3 of the 2/2 vampire bears for 2?
3 of the 2/2
3.
For 2, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just
and
like...
And then I had the 1/3 with Prowess, the Ravenous Bloodseeker, the one that gets +2/-2 by discarding a card. But
we put your deck on camera one round.
Yeah.
And, the observation that I made was, if the game ends in 8 turns, Mike won. If it goes 15, Mike lost.
Yeah, that was that was the same kind of deck I was
which
on.
Which you definitely saw in our game 2 against Frank. Like game 1, he got stuck on 3 lands.
And you blew him out,
Game 3, he got stuck on 2 lands. But, like...
he was able to stabilize.
In game in game 2, like, we both had the 2-3 white intro deck promo that makes spirits.
Yeah.
But, like, that was my top end.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
that was just his middle ground.
And he had the one that gives creatures plus one lifelink. So I'm like, okay, I need someone to break Surf. So for game 3, I boarded in, the legendary werewolf I opened.
Yeah.
With the only green splash being Warped Landscape.
Hey,
but like,
it
I needed something that if the game goes long, I'm probably going to be able to cast at that point. I probably found the green by turn 11 or 12.
Yeah, you just want to be able to put up a
and
fight.
And something that I can break serve with.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's the plus four, making sure that I get a profitable attack and he has bad blocks, or it flipping and me getting to start slowly killing the board.
Yeah.
But, I went 3-1. Like I said, like, my rares were a bit all over the place in my pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I really didn't get a feel for the format in single sealed. So, for Saturday morning, Jesse Groom wanted to do two-headed giant. Sealed, but because I was in my rec, I have a car I could borrow, but it's for my uncle. He doesn't want me driving it very far if I can help it.
Yeah.
Just was not willing
and like,
to
I couldn't get
ride.
A ride to Titan, so it's like, okay, I'm just gonna go to FCs. So like, Will gave me a ride down, like, great. It was awesome. Thank you, Will. I played green, white, splashing black for an activated ability and my promo. I played all 8 rares I opened.
Okay, so the promo, green, black, I'm going to guess it's a 2-2?
No.
It was the tree.
Oh, it was the tree. Okay. I was hoping he was going to say that you got a grim player.
He played one bad rare, the 26
Providence.
Life card.
But I had seasons passed.
Right, whatever.
So my thought was
what were your other rares?
So it was the tree, seasons passed, Providence. The other black elf splashing for was Ishkana, Gloom Widow.
She is
so good.
Yes. I turned 5 deliriumed her. I didn't lose that game.
I watched somebody come back from completely dead because of that card.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Audric.
Okay.
Emrakul's Evangel. The 3-2 that says tap, sack it, and any number of
good
other non-Odrazi.
That guy's so good.
Thalia.
Okay.
And
now I see why Will's jealous, because you opened a Thalia.
And
no, just because he opened a deck that was just gas.
The Stone Nuts.
Gas.
And Bruna.
Okay.
And Bruna. It turns out she's pretty good in limited.
Yeah, her reviving the Emrakul's Evangel or the Thalia or the 1-2 that when it dies you get a creature, but it gets +3/+0 with.
Yeah, I mean, in general,
I revived him a lot, actually.
Yeah, in general, these games go longer, so she doesn't cost too much.
No.
I mean, it's really not that much. Like, if you were, like, the amount of people I saw who opened the new Behemoth.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing is insane.
Oh,
that
thing is. Didn't dude, play it? I'm like, what are you doing?
That thing doesn't
I did that
much.
At midnight,
that
but
thing only
I was
cost like 6.
I was an aggro red white deck. I was not getting to 10 mana.
Splash overrun.
Yeah, you know?
Well, I mean, I had a whole bunch of discard outlets for card advantage. Like, I had the discard
card. Well, if you discard, you discard it. I mean, well,
no, lands. You couldn't have splashed the overrun. It has 4 green mana symbols on it.
I'm discarding my lands a lot. So, like, I'm not going to be playing my lands out to 10 mana.
Yeah, but you could just use him as his...
Emerge?
Emerge.
Triple green?
Not emerge. You could use him as his... I think that your deck could have used him just as is. Bam.
With
that's an overrun. I will pay 10 and fucking
beat
your
face. Yeah, but the way the game's played out,
I don't think the red-white deck
I
ever
never had more than 6 mana down at one point.
Yeah, incorrect. I have it on camera where you have more than 6.
Oh, that was when we played the game out.
And that game, if you would have dropped it, it would have been over.
I had 7 or 8 lands, but like I was discarding. I would discard most of my lands to my abilities. So like, my lands were my excess, were my cards that I could just discard to madness outlets. I didn't have any madness spells, so it's just, I'm gonna discard this to get advantage against you. I'm not getting past 5 mana. Like the only time I ever wanted at the midnight to get to 6 mana, was to double activate my rare to get 2 spirits.
Okay.
Like everything else was 5 or less.
Yeah, the red-white deck it should definitely be pretty trim.
Yeah. I mean, but in sealed it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even the red-white deck in sealed can push it a little further.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of top-end white cards and even the red cards are very good. But
I mean, I had a 1-drop, the tap, discard a card. The Ravenous Bloodseeker taps to get big. I had a 3-drop that made me discard. I think I had another 2-drop that had discard effects. So, like, the lands were what I wanted to discard, always. I'd play my spell, discard my land for advantage, for plus side, and then just get there. But, yeah, so at the Saturday, started out 3-0, played against Will in the third round. I definitely felt the power of my rares.
I did too. So you played your spider twice, you played Seasons Past, you played Thalia.
I played Emrakul's Evangel.
You definitely did. And you played Brazella.
Bruna was game one, yeah. And then you tapped her down and killed me.
Ooh.
I definitely, in round four, had an Audric out and played Lone Rider. And gave my team first strike and lifelink, swung for 11 life.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
The 3-0 start with those rares, you'd think I'd go like what, 4-1, 4-0-1, 5-0?
I would put you at 4-0-1 at that point.
I went 3-2.
Yeah. Lost to Colwell, I'm so disappointed in you.
That felt so bad.
Yeah, it always feels terrible losing to Mike. Like,
I definitely put him in game one. I put my equestrian skills on the wrong creature. And
That's very disappointing.
If I would have put it on the correct creature, I would have won. And, like, for those who know Caldwell, like, he was making excuses. Like, oh, well, I don't know. I still had all this. Like, yeah, but...
Yeah, he is a still had all
my
these.
My team's getting trample every turn, and you have no profitable blocks ever, and I'm tapping a creature every attack.
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely is still had all these all the time.
Oh, like. My goodness.
And then game two. Like, game two, I just flood. I have 12 lands in play and 5-6 spells.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't even close. I'm like, yeah, you're damn right it wasn't close. He goes, oh, it wouldn't have mattered if you would have drawn and these then, lands. I had all this. And he's complaining about, like, he's splashing, like, 6 red cards, a couple that cost double red, and he's running 4 red lands.
Because, of course, he's playing
and,
Naya.
Like, he's complaining that he didn't get to see his double red mana. It's like, you're green-white splashing 6 red cards with 4 mountains. I don't care how many of the 0/3s you have that when it dies, it gets a land. Those things don't die unless you sack it, typically.
I mean... It's Mike.
It is. That's why,
I mean,
like,
you're sitting here getting fired up about somebody who you know when you sit down across from him, he is going to have these moments. Like, he could have the devil's mana base and complain about mana, which he basically
it's
did.
Mike.
And it's like, you know that going in.
Like, it could have been any other player, and I wouldn't have minded that loss. I would have been upset because of the flood in game two, but, like,
can't let Mike tell you.
It's
what gives him
to.
Power.
Yeah. And then I played against, Myers in round 5, and I definitely felt the power level of his rare. He had 2. He had the Eldrazi Wish, which got him the Eldrazi that has the black emerge cost where it takes 2 cards when it's cast.
Oh, that card is pretty good.
And he got 2 cards from me both times he cast it in both games.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he turned 3 wished it, and turned 4 emerged it both games.
That seems like what you would do.
Yeah, like, it's a 5-5, so, like, my deck is just like, oh, well, unless I get Bruna out there, like, my average power is 3.
Sure.
And he took Bruna both times when casting it.
Well, that's...
So, like, yeah, my outs were slim, and then the one thing that really pushed him over the edge, which actually won him both games, was the 3-3 vampire that you sack 3 to transform it and your opponent sacks 3.
Oh, that card is brutal. It's
worse
than Barter and Blood.
It's a 6/5 flyer on the backside, too.
Sacrificing 3 creatures is really hard to get out of.
It is,
like,
but when you're like the black, blue, I'm just going to stall the game, and I'm just going to use my life total as a resource. I'll go to 7. That's fine. I'm flipping this thing and taking control of the game.
Oh, no. I mean, playing against it is difficult to play around that card.
Yeah, like, and like both times...
There's no way it's not going to get a valuable creature or probably 2.
Both times he flipped it, it got rid of all 3 creatures I had.
I would think.
And yeah, like, it's a 6/5 flyer afterwards. It's like, okay, you made me sack my Bruna. I now have no outs. My deck had 2 removal spells, 1 in Puncturing Light, and 1 in the +1/+1, my dude punches your guy.
Yeah, I don't think that's getting there.
No. Like, the deck was good. Removal was bad, but like...
Removal in general in this set
is difficult.
It is lacking.
Yeah.
That is something that I definitely noticed going through. Like, some of the removal spells that there are really good, but there's the numbers as far as how many actual removal spells there are in a set. It's lower than usual.
Yeah. It feels like it has shrunk from the last set. Like, in the previous set, I felt like, there was plenty of access to removal.
Yeah.
There was all
conditional or, you know, some
there
sometimes
was something
it was
you could
lacking.
Get.
Yeah, there was definitely always something.
You could get a bad one if you needed it.
And this one, it was tough. Like, it's definitely stuff stuck around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I really do still kind of think that this is a,
Dude, we were getting trashed in Twitch chat. Oh, yeah, just getting destroyed.
I guess. Anyway, but like I was saying, like, there is something to be said about this being a Prince format. Like, explained it. Like, holy crap. So anything else from the pre-release we need to talk about?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to take a real quick break, and we will return in a moment. Titan Games Shop. You need products? We got products. We got your sleeves. We got your cards. We got your singles. We got everything you could possibly need. You want tournaments? Oh, there's tournaments. There's plenty of tournaments. We got FNMs. We got GPTs. We have every single tournament you can think of. Limited, standard, modern, legacy, vintage masters, all of them. And while you're there, you need something to eat. Oh yeah, we got that too. We got Snickers. Heck, your kids are going to love their nuts. We have everything you could possibly want at Titan Game Shop. And remember, if you go there, let them know that the Pit M sent you. That's TitanGameShop.com. T-A-I-T-A-N. GameShop.com. Okay, so we return, and we're going to start with the B&R changes. You know, look, people were speculating possibly Top could be banned in Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep talking, because didn't get shit changed.
It's not oppressive. It's not in any way oppressive.
It's like the mid of the year BR list. We don't really tend to see much around this time of the year.
No.
Unless it's like absolutely here, this actually needs to change. Like something big pops up that really takes a format by storm. Like something in Modern, like if Company had come out and there was some random creature.
Yeah.
That just, like, won the game on the spot. Like, sure, you have your infant combo, but you have to build, like, three creatures to do it.
Right.
If Company introduced a creature that, on its own...
Could just end it.
Could end it. Then that creature would probably have seen a ban right away. But, like...
Or Company, because that's what happened when Flash Hulk showed up in Legacy.
Yeah, but, like...
Was goodbye.
I don't think Company would have been the issue in that case. It would have been the one creature that's saying, I win the game on the spot.
It might be, but I'm going off of past experience, which is Hulk Flash.
That's true.
Like, we have Flash didn't see a lot of play, and then Hulk came out, and they're like, time to get rid of Flash.
Well, that was a thing, for sure. That was a turn one kill.
We had
Court of
Calling.
That's very
already.
Different than the Collected Company deck.
Like, we had Court of Calling already, so, like, we already had tutors. Like, that probably wouldn't have been the issue.
Yeah, but, I mean, when it comes to tutoring, though, Wizards does, like, decide on the side of banning the tutor instead of the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just a truth ever since the beginning of time.
I do think, though, that none of the formats really needed any kind of bannings. I thought everything was really...
Popper needed it.
Well, still Gurmag Angler. No one respects that as a real format. But, like,
keep making... I mean, it was just a year ago. They did, like, six bannings in Popper. Like,
yeah.
They still look at it.
Yeah,
people play it online.
I don't have the internet.
Okay.
So I can't,
some people
I can't
do FNMs with it,
much.
But not ours currently.
Yeah, so every year
I played in a Popper last month, no, in May rather.
Oh, okay.
Popper FNM.
So every year Wizards puts out very special black and white promo cards.
Oh yeah, for a new core set
for the San Diego Comic-Con.
But we don't have a core set anymore.
No.
So what do we got this time?
We have, instead of black and white,
I actually love these, by the way.
We have a new alternate art, Liliana, The Last Hope.
Yep.
Then we have alternate art, Zombies.
I think she's the least impressive alternate art.
Yes, by far.
Yeah.
But she's obviously the one in charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have alternate art, Zombies of Gideon, Ally of Zendikar.
Who's
missing an arm.
Wearing a crow like a pirate and has half an arm.
Yeah, well, the crow's pecking at his neck.
Well, of course.
Because I wouldn't say he's wearing it
like
a pirate.
He's wearing it. It's fashionable.
We have Jace, Unraveler of Secrets. That's
eating
the
a
five
brain.
One. He's eating a brain.
That's how he unravels the secrets.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. We have Chandra Flamecaller, who looks like a darker version of a White Walker.
Yeah, she's literally a corpse, an ashen corpse with armor.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And then my favorite of them all is Nissa, Voice of Zendikar.
Who has a flower hat thing.
Yeah,
her flowers just growing out of her head.
The flowers are just, you know, there, and it's
and she's
like,
just like standing there, like motionless. Like, I know she's a zombie, but like she is like the least emotion and action out of all of them.
I feel like the art on this is an homage to the early versions of pacifism that had a zombie that had, you know, animals and flowers.
It really looks
all over
exactly
him.
Like it.
Yeah, it's definitely the same stature and the flowers and the hair. She's really
adorable.
Now they
have clouds in the background. I wonder if you like put them together, it forms like the landscape like they're supposed to be laid out in a certain
order. It probably does because Lily's got the moon. And then everything else is, you know, kind of cloudy.
Yeah, it looks like Gideon
it.
Connects to Jace.
I concur.
Yes. Yes. We're going to all say yes. Anyway. Yes.
Jace connects to Liliana.
If you
she
wanted to pick these
right.
up at San Diego Comic-Con, they will be $99.99 plus tax, which should come out to about $108. However, us realistic people know that these will be going for about $400 a set online.
Yeah, and then like in a year, they'll probably go to like $250,
$300. It'll, once you put them all together, it'll be which ones are good will be super expensive, and then the bad ones won't be worth shit.
Yeah, so. I mean, if you get out to San Diego, though, and what's the deal? You have to go through the line, and it's like limit one per customer or something that. So, like, if you could go out there with a couple people and invest $600 or $700 into this, you could flip hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a few weeks, which they haven't released a date for that, but every year they do it, they do put out a limited number of these for sale on the Comic-Con site or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're not at your computer and you don't click in 5 minutes... Yeah. After they go on sale?
It's more like one.
Well, yeah, it is. Like, you gotta be quick with your card info.
They say one per customer, but like stores, like bigger stores have like five people all buying for the same store.
And they're refreshing the page constantly. Like, you have to be there pretty much if they say they go on sale at 11, you have to be refreshing the page at 11 and hope that your computer connection is very fast. And then you can pick them up for $108. Yeah.
Plus shipping, but
nonetheless, I mean, you can still pick them up for that price, which is a good price. I think that $108 for Lily of the Last Hope, which I think she's probably going to end up in a couple years at 40, just regular.
Yeah.
Just the regular one. Not the promo. Not the regular promo one. Yeah, I think she's going to see play.
Do you think she's a modern card?
I think in a couple specific style decks, she could be.
Yeah, I think the minus two is really, really powerful.
So do I.
So
I don't know if I put her at 40, but yeah, like I definitely see her holding value above $25.
Yeah. I think the Nyssa is going
to
be the
Nyssa's going to over time just continue to go
yeah,
up.
She yeah, she is insane, and she absolutely fits in modern. And
I think
anytime
the
there's a green
well.
Mirror, she is the way to win it.
Yeah, I think
Chandra costs too much. I think that this is the worst of the Jaces.
It is, but like these are like I think the best as a group. Like when you looked at the previous Comic Cons, like there was like this one's real good, this one's okay. The rest are like
I'm not trying to look at them like that. I'm trying to look at them very specifically. Each card, will they hold value or go up? And are you getting $109 worth of cards? If you just were to say go buy all five of these regular, you're getting $109.
Like Gideon will hold value.
That's going to hold value.
Jason Chandra definitely with Commander, but like I feel like Chandra does have a chance in some late game deck that's not primarily red, that wants a way to win the game.
Possible.
Like, we don't know how...
A deck that's not primarily red?
Like, it's not like a mono red deck or like an aggro red deck. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I think that there's definitely space for big red. Like Scred red or red white is definitely a real thing in modern if you want to play it. It's just not many people do.
I mean, even like, who knows how modern will turn out? Jund might at some point want her if the format dictates it.
I mean, as a sideboard card, she's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, she definitely has the potential to be a $20 card over time, but I think
the promo will definitely hold $20.
The promo will.
The 2-3 mana ones are for sure going to be something forever. And then I think Gideon is close.
The only problem is Gideon in Modern is literally fighting the exact same space Elspeth is. You know, original Elspeth. And the two, they're very similar cards, and Elspeth is better.
They are, but I think he fits the game plan of like a black-white tokens deck better because his ultimate is an emblem.
Yeah.
That's true. But
you can do it immediately.
Plus three is real.
It is, but
and flying.
But you can cash this in
a reason for tokens decks to...
Like, you already have Intangible Virtue for the flying. But you can cash this in immediately for that emblem.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, like, you can turn to Raise
Intangible
Dawn, turn
Virtue
Spectral.
Doesn't give flying. It gives vigilance.
But, like, either way, like, you have spirits. Like, turn two, Raise Alarm. Turn three, Spectral Procession. Turn four, Gideon Emblem.
I mean, there's definitely a spot for it. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know that... Because, you know, if the only use is the emblem, I can point you towards hundreds of other things.
But he does
do the same
make
thing.
Tokens that are base 2/2.
He does make tokens that are base 2/2.
He doesn't have the same flaw of Glorious Anthems in the past where all you have is Anthems. Like,
he generates.
He does
as
something
well.
Else, right?
So I mean,
and his Glorious Anthem is permanent.
Yeah, the best
one. It
doesn't
get rid of.
You can't get rid of it.
You know, I think if there's a reason for a tokens deck to exist, he will definitely be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's room for him. I think there's room for Liliana. I think there's room for Nissa in modern. So I think that if you were to get these at retail,
you should. I absolutely think you should.
I don't see how you lose. Cause you know, just because they're the promos, they're all going to be worth
like the origins,
100% more than the original.
You sell Jace and Chandra during the standard season because, I mean, Chandra as a standard card is going to be very valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully Jace is going to find a home in the next rotation, but,
like, I mean, look at last
year. Things are slowing down. I can see Jace seeing a lot of play in the, in,
like, is a blue-white control?
Yeah, if the next set, once, you know, the next rotation happens.
Like Kaladesh?
Yeah, when it, if it comes in and stays on the same pace that the two Innistrad sets have set, then we are going to slow the format down dramatically, and I think Jace is great in that format.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
I mean, look at last year's Comic-Con. The Jace alone makes $108 worth it.
Oh yeah.
From last year.
Oh yeah.
Like the Lily has the upside as well.
But Jace is just, I mean, the Nissa was peak was $200 something.
Yeah, the Nissa's always decent there too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that it might only be a Borderland Ranger at start, but the fact that it gets
that's good though, man.
Yeah. Like that's the fact that it just gets you card advantage and it's an elf.
I can't remember a time, legitimately, and you know, I said this when it came out. When we first talked about it, I said when Borderland Ranger is in standard, it is in every green deck.
Yeah, people play it.
Like, and you just gave us that on a Planeswalker. Like, it's going to see play. And
yeah.
Yeah, well.
Definitely a good set to pick up if you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can get one online, knock yourselves out.
If you guys get a spare and, like, don't want to inflate the price, let us know.
Yeah, donate that.
I'll just buy it from you. Like.
What's the name? What's the kitten donate? What's that called?
Harmless Offering.
Harmless Offering. Harmless
like
offering. Shit, man.
Like, come if on. Someone gets it and sells it for $150, I'll buy it. Like.
You heard it here first, Sex.
You did.
Mike is willing to spend below the, internet average for your.
Hey, if you guys want to cut us a deal, I'll compensate you an extra, like, $50, so you can go get some beer, get some dinner.
Yeah! So,
definitely not a salesman, Mike.
No. We have a new set, which means that I had to do all kinds of math today.
You did.
I broke the set down by the numbers for you limited players. Will was excited to hear these numbers last week.
I'm as well.
So he made a specific point during the show to go, yeah, I can't wait to see the by the numbers, giving me this look like hurry up and get on that.
I mean, I think I did catch that point.
You know, I'm excited about the set. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
So, common and uncommon creatures. We'll start right there because that's the bulk of our draft, right?
That's how you win a game as creatures in limited. There's no combos.
That's what you hope. However, like I said, this set seems very princey to me.
Well, you're still going to win by attacking this format.
You are, but the thing is it might be your commons and uncommons are more just to hold the ground till you get to your big rare. So, commons and uncommon rundown. We have 79 total creatures in the set. That's out of 205. Okay, so 82% of those 79 have a power 3 or less.
Little itty bitty guys.
Yes, 93% is 4 or less.
So $5.
$5 will get you there, man.
$5 a 2 for one every time.
If you have, I think your best removal spell that you're going to find is something that does 3 damage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be from that third pack most likely. Mm-hmm. But if you can deal 3 damage to something, you can kill a lot of things.
If you can get 2 copies of the updated Kindle, I think that card becomes very, very good.
Or the modified Incinerate.
True. And one of the funny things that also goes with this is, you know, I said 82% 3 or less, 93 4 or less. 60% of those are 2 or less.
That's tiny.
That's over half of the creatures you're going to get has a 2 butt
I have
or
that,
less.
Well, are we on power here?
Power. Oh, power. I'm sorry. 2 power.
Yes.
There's a lot of zero power creatures, but Delirium is, like, there's 1-2s and 0s power creatures that do get pumped from Delirium.
Mind you,
so it's a lot of that.
Everything here that I'm saying are the base stats. Like, if a creature has a you know, ability that can give it +1/+1. Like, that's huge in this set. Yep. But I mean, looking straight at base stats, yes, a flip card, you know, it might be a 1/3 on one side, but it might be a 3/6 on the other side. Well, you want to flip that card as soon as possible, as I'm about to show you, because 77% of the creatures have toughness 3 or less.
Tiny. Minotaur format.
Yes. 93%, same as strength, 4 or less.
So 4 damage is king.
4 damage is king.
Yep. Wow.
So beyond king. So you need a 4/5. You need a Nessian Asp.
Yeah, and 46% is 2 or less. So slightly under half. So that means that there's a lot of 2/3s.
Yeah.
That's what I did notice, right there. Lots of 2/3s. So the tradings are not going to be good. This makes flip cards extremely more important. If you, you know, get those werewolves, it might cost 6 to flip it, but that might be all you need to really change the tide in a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the rare and mythic rundown for creatures, we have 38 total. 73% of those has a power 4 or less. Mind you, one of those is a 0/0. That comes with 5+1/+1 counters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair.
So keep that in mind. 57% is 3 or less. So there's a lot more 4s at the rare slot. And
a lot of 4s.
42% is 2 or less. Again, one of those is a 0/0.
That's just that's what's happening. We're clogging the board with our ground creatures, with our commons and our uncommons. Then your 4-power rare shows up and he's like, hey, what's up, man? Mm-hmm.
Your 5/5 rare, your 4/5 rare, that's something.
And then you also have the 1/3 that makes everything else a 1/3 with it. So
don't play that card.
Confusing for coverage.
Yeah, right. Please don't play that card.
You did have to cover that at one point.
I did, and it just made the games go so long. It's horrendous. Anyway, so we move to toughness of rares and mythics. 71% of those have a toughness of 4 or less. Again, like Will said, 4 is king.
Yeah. The 4/4 first strike guy.
Yeah, if you can deal 4 damage with a removal spell, you can kill
almost anything.
I mean, between the two creatures, it's like 83% of all creatures in this set is just dead.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. 55%, 3 or less. Only 26%, 2 or less.
One's a 0/0.
And one is a 0/0 that happens to be a 5/5 when it's first played.
So ideally your rares are also built to be a little bit more survivable as well.
And there's also the 1/3 blue that copies something.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We have 26%, that has a power of 4 over.
Okay.
And 28% has a toughness above 4.
Wow.
So.
That's our rares and mythics.
26% over 4. And so a little over a quarter have a power of 5 or greater. And toughness, it's 28%. That's with our rares and mythics. That's why I feel like, you know, the rare and mythic really, as far as creatures go, are really a lot bigger than the other ones.
So
the numbers with the regular ones are a lot lower.
I've been playing Warcraft 3 recently, and it's hard for me not to draw that analogy of just, like, you have your hero card and everything else is just your basic unit.
Yep. So, like I said, that makes a total of 117 creatures.
What's the total number of cards in the set?
There's 205. So it's 52% of the entire set is creatures. So half the cards you see in your first 2 packs of your draft is going to be...
It's a surprising number of non-creature spells.
Yeah.
That seems pretty high.
It strangely isn't.
Really?
What's the normal? 60-40?
Usually 58? You see about 48% creatures.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, because your instants and sorceries usually take up a little over 20%. It's just strange. And then you got your lands, too, that... And the big sets come in, which force
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I see. So, you know, if there's 5.
So there actually is a lot of creatures
there. Yeah, there actually is a fairly large amount of creatures. So we move to the Ancients, which is 28 total. 14% of all
the Ancients?
The Ancients. Instants.
Okay, sorry.
It's our scratchers.
The Ancients.
Only one of those is rare. That's good news for limited players, and that is Summary Dismissal.
That's good.
Yeah. Yep. That is good for us.
Cuts down on things that you have to play around, like the long shots.
Yes.
Yeah.
5 have Escalate.
Okay.
And that's 18% of all instant. That's actually...
That's a large percentage.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, that was actually pretty high.
20% of instants are escalated.
Yeah, and 79% of these cards cost 3 or less.
So 3 untapped mana is...
Yeah, it's good.
Is scary.
Is a mind fuck.
Yeah. Like, that's good to know. So, we move to sorceries. There's 29 of them, which is actually still 14%. It was slightly higher, 14%. I think that the instance was like 13.8, and, you know, that rounds to 14, and the sorceries was like 14.3, which rounds down to 14.
So you're really trying to get delirium to function in this set.
Yeah, which is part of the reason why the numbers are so balanced for the most part. So you have 29 of those. 20 cost 3 or less. That's 69% of all sorts 3 or less.
Again, so it seems like CMC 3 or less is actually a key for this format.
Yeah, it really feels like it as far as spells goes.
Yeah, hit 3 lands.
11 of these, though, are rare or mythic.
Wow.
3 of them have escalate. All are rare.
Yeah.
Those are good
cards. Yeah, those are all
good. Those are good cards.
All 3 of the rare escalates are great.
The black one's great. The blue, the red one's great. The white one's great.
I think the black one is actually the worst of them.
The black one might be, but it's still really
good. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but it's competing against the green and white, or the red and white ones.
I don't think any of them aren't pack one, pick one.
I concur.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are all pack one, pick one.
I mean, one's a 2-mana removal spell that you could just discard a card to choose to force your opponent to discard a card.
Yeah. Oh no, I mean that card's
your choice.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah.
But like,
too bad I can't pitch my hand and just make a pick. My board looks better.
Poop. I think you only get instants.
I remember,
but I think
that
you
card.
Can only get instants and sorceries out of their hand with it. But like, still, like that's big. If you feel like you have the creature advantage, killing their creature gives you. If you had a creature down already, it gives you the board advantage, and then you're taking one of their possible removal spells to catch up.
Yep. Okay, so we moved to enchantments. 19 of them. I forgot to do a percentage. It's going to be roughly about 10%. There's 205, 19.
Nice. Yeah, no, roughly about
yeah.
Okay, so 4 are rare or mythic, which is just under a quarter. You know, that's, I mean, you just ain't going to see a bunch of them. 13 or 68% of them cost 3 or less.
Yeah.
Again, that 3 or less thing is really beginning to show.
Cheap
in this
spells set. And big creatures.
Yes. So...
Or little creatures, rather.
Cool, cool, cool. We have 11 artifacts in the set. That's only 5%. 5 of those are equipment.
Yeah.
For delirium purposes, 3 of them are creatures.
Yeah, yeah. Which is huge.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
3 of these are also rare. Not the creatures. Only one of the creatures is rare.
One of the creatures, one that's a pseudo-removal spell
and
for your own creature.
And one's just a weird thing.
It's equipment.
Just long, long writing on it.
Like, oh, the soul capture.
The soul thing.
Well, it makes your creature a 1-1 flyer, same abilities, and then it gives you a body that had its power toughness.
Yeah, there's just words on it, and there's a bunch of them. So anyway, but that's that. I mean, that's basically the breakdown for the set. What do you guys think? I mean, now that you actually hear them, I mean, I'm sure you had your suspicions.
Yeah, I think my suspicions are pretty well confirmed. I'm actually surprised at the overall cheapness of spells.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that shocked me.
I think is actually translating to just a lower power level of spells than we experienced in the last set. Like, I felt like SOI was really, I thought spells were awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And now, this Eldritch Moon business is just like, I think you're very correct in your assessment that like we're waiting for the big thing to show up. Mm-hmm. And that does scare me a little bit, but like, you know, I think that there's still a ton of synergy and a ton of really cool interaction. And again, draft will probably be different. And I think the draft is to speed up and there's going to be ways that you can force trading to happen.
I definitely value red a lot more for this set specifically.
Yeah, I think in the third pack you'll be well rewarded if you value red early because you're going to get the removal of the burn that is going to take care of everything that could be a problem.
Like you have the 1-drop 1/2 that pumps its, you can pay 3 mana to give it +2/+0.
That guy's
no limit per turn.
That guy's insane in this.
You have
format.
Brazen Wolves, which is a 4/3 attacker.
Yes.
Which
is strong. In
both are common in both of what you want.
The 2/1 Menace Wolf is just insane right now.
And that's a good 2-drop. You have the 4/4 trample werewolf that can flip into a 5/7 trample.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if this upcoming draft season that we're going to go through isn't decided by the third pack of the draft. Kind of like if you remember back when Fate Reforged was being drafted with the last set of that block. Dragons of Tarkir. Like, a lot of games got decided by what people opened in. Like, you know,
what they were forced into based on the table. Like, what they picked.
Yeah, and then what they opened in Fate Reforged, it was like, oh.
Oh, well, look at that. Worth.
You know?
Yeah, like, red and green looked, or white and green looked real good and sealed.
Yes.
But, like, it seems like red might be the best draft color based on these numbers.
I think so as well.
I think blue gains a lot.
I think red, white, green is the order there. I think green was the third strongest in sealed.
I watched a bunch of games play out, and so I got the view of both players when I was watching, you know. Green felt like the best color in sealed, followed by white.
But there was a lot of synergy within those colors, and a lot of times you saw them together.
Not as much as you think. I saw a lot of green black as well.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like...
So green really performed.
I definitely saw a lot of players trying to be blue-green, or blue-black.
I saw blue on camera.
Yeah,
none of them did well.
No, like, I was at FC's on Saturday, like, I just saw a lot of people trying, like, black-blue, or, like, trying to go, like, always black, but they didn't have, like, the best stuff, and I'm like, I'm wondering if that is a bit of a trap for Sealed for some players.
I don't think you need to really evaluate those results too much.
That's true.
Pre-release. People are going to jump in.
They're
going to
play with what they want.
I feel like I didn't get a good look at those colors properly.
I think blue is going to be a fine color in the upcoming format because of the Flyers.
Yeah.
Like, that is legit.
There's a lot of spirits.
You can go to the air.
Blue has...
There's Welkin Turn. Like, that's never a bad creature.
Different ways to manipulate their library in the format. They have a ton of ways to draw in their cards. And if this is a Prince format, this is going to matter so much more. Like, that ability to find your bigger card faster, I think, should really matter a lot.
We actually have a relevant question to what we're talking about now from the King of Hearts. And his question is... So does the fact that limited is more princey, as we're calling it now, does that change the playability of cards like Nefalia Moondrakes and Drogsarl Cavalry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, because you're able to at least theoretically sideboard in against these long matches. You have these longer, big game, 7 and 8 mana switches.
Yeah, even in draft, like, those at 7 mana aren't going to be, like, far from castable.
I mean,
definitely not.
There's still going to be that red white deck.
Yeah, there is.
Be fast.
Red white, red green.
Be afraid of that.
Yeah, be afraid of the red.
Can be quick, but I don't think that people are going to put together let me correct that. I do think that the vampire deck is going to come together maybe easier now.
I think so.
Because of the bear.
Yeah.
The 2/2 for two bear.
Dude, the red black.
And that was already extremely fast in the format and hard to deal with. So, like, in draft, you know, I think if you can't get into red, I think the games are going to go long.
Yeah.
But.
You do, weird.
I think Will said it right. They're kind of sideboard type cards.
Yeah, exactly.
But be ready to bring them in. Don't be afraid to.
Not a pack one, pick one. But, let's say pack two.
I mean, you're going to see it in pack three.
It's pack three.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Pack three. So pack three.
If you're in that color,
three,
you take
pick
it.
Four. Like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to play this in my main deck, but I know in half of my sideboard games, I'm going to crush with this thing.
Yeah. I would go pack three, pick one. No problem if I pick one of those.
Yeah, maybe.
If I'm in those colors. Fine. Okay.
The odd thing is that they both go to the spirit deck.
They do.
But, I could see the white deck. Cause, like, you already have, like, your 6 mana angels you're probably going to play.
Yeah.
You're already going to play a Bruna if you open it.
If you open it.
Like,
we all ain't Broderick. We don't get.
Well, Bruna's only a rare. Bruna's only a rare.
Yeah, but like, over the next season, I open it once.
Oh, don't worry. When I come to draft, I open nothing. Like, I'll open the Harmless Offering and the Eldrazi Tutor the most out of anyone.
Sure.
The amount of drafts I do, the percentage of times where I actually take the rare I open, out of 2 drafts, I might take 1, maybe 2 rares.
Yeah, I pass.
Out of 6 packs.
I don't open good rares in sealed or in draft. Yeah, very, very rarely.
So, yeah, I mean, like, they're definitely going to be worth taking. Mm-hmm. And any game that goes beyond, like, turn 6 or 7, I think you're right to bring them in.
I concur. I mean, even if the opponent has 5 mana cards in there, I think that...
If they have more than 2.
Yeah, more than 2. If they're not the red-white deck, if they're not the red-black deck, if they're a deck that seeks the mid game, then you have every right in the world to attempt to go to the late game.
I think so. I think that's only right. Like, just go long at that point.
Yeah, but if they're closing in the early game, you know, don't do that.
You might even be able to get away with just main decking them because, like, there's going to be 1, maybe 2 red drafters at the table.
But I think that's dangerous. I think you're giving away percentage points in game one.
And then
you leave yourself into a situation where literally a mana problem can bounce you from
it. This is pack three.
Yeah, I understand this.
In pack two, based on the numbers you gave us, there are a lot of creatures that are early and a lot of conditional removal spells early, but those deal with those smaller creatures that you're worried about.
Mike, you live in Broderick land where you can get away with 7 mana cards against red-white. I can't live that dream.
Yeah, I think
there's no guarantee you're going to play against red-white every draft. Like,
no, but...
The amount of early drops, say you're the white deck, and you have the Drogsoul Cavalry.
All right, I'm listening to you.
You have a lot of early white drops in those first 2 packs that hold the ground for you.
You do?
And they trade.
And that could be your top end card.
I'm just saying that's your top end. That's not your game plan. That's your top end.
But, I mean, if that is your top end, you can play one of those.
Yeah.
But I don't think you play both of those. So, I think this is going to be a draft set where if you want to be really good at this upcoming, you're going to learn to sideboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Broderick, you're talking about giving away percentage points in what I feel to be some of the hardest matchups in the format in game one.
So you don't want to give percentage
points. You don't want to give away points to either the red decks because it's going to be unlikely that you're going to be able to compete with their raw speed in all three games. So you want to make sure you get to play a chance at all three games. Whereas these grindy matchups are much more likely to end up going to three games if time permits. So you have much more chance for your sideboard to be relevant.
Here's how I look at the black red. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys can correct me if you feel I'm wrong, but when I play against that matchup, I want them to go first once.
Yeah.
If possible. Yeah. If they win the die roll, that's a problem.
Yeah. That's already a problem. Yeah. But if I win the die roll, I only want them to go first once. I don't want them to have that chance at twice. If they get to go first twice, I feel like I lose there.
I concur. Yeah, no.
A lot of times.
Especially if they have the one and the two and the three.
If I'm giving them game one, okay, for me to win it, I have to let them go first two games in a row following that. That's tough.
Yeah, but the thing I'm not saying you're blue, white, you have both of these rares, play both. I'm saying if you're blue or if you're white, I don't think that
it's out of the realm to play one of them as a top end.
Yeah, I'm not saying you jam both and just yaw, I'm laking, but if you're blue or if you're white, white has a lot of early creatures to clog the board and trade with with the red deck.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
And you automatic, and with this, you control the late game. Like, if you're not red-white, but you're in white, you're already playing the mid to late game.
I hear what you said. You're saying the same thing over and over again.
You're repeating yourself. We are disagreeing.
No, here's the thing. There's value in what both of you are saying, and I understand what both of you... I get what you're saying. If you say, look, this is my top-end card, I'm going to maul any hand that has this in its opening hand.
Well, yeah.
And, I just want this in my deck. If the game goes really long, that picks you up some percentage points against the other decks. It clearly does. But it does drop a couple against a couple other decks.
But it only picks you up those percentage points in certain situations where the game goes that long and your mana development works.
Yeah. I completely get this.
Yeah.
And
it's a hindrance.
There is
in a lot
something
of cases.
To be said there where you can say, okay, well, I only expect to play against one of those red decks. All right. I'm okay with a 2-1, possibly a 3-0.
Cause there's drafts where I've never played against, I've only played against four total colors in the draft.
Yeah, I've had those drafts multiple times.
I feel like you guys are assuming way too much. You are always going to be playing against that red deck in every round.
I play a lot online.
I know you do.
Yeah, you play against that red deck a lot.
It's different
in your store than it is online. I know that.
I'm just trying to build the best, most versatile deck that will give me the most ability to win a three-game match against anyone I play against.
Yes, but I feel like if you're... conceding, if you're not playing this against because you're playing the red decks and you're not one of those percentage points there, I feel like you lose percentage points in key game ones against other colors.
I'm not playing this card because unless I have a very specific reason to play what I would consider to be a suboptimal late game card, not a slam windmill first pick late game card, something that's pretty sketchy. So if I'm going to put a card that I consider to be sketchy in my deck, I want to have a valid reason. If the case of I have so much defense but no way to close the game, right? Or
absolutely.
My deck is built to do nothing but survive. How am I going to win, right? So these are examples that I wanted. But if I have a reasonable mid-game curvy deck that's green, blue, and I just want to get there, I don't want to have a card that is only relevant in 30% of my games because I have either not gotten 7 mana, not lived long enough to do that, or just don't have better plays to make once I have gotten to 7 mana. These are situations where I just don't want the card.
I think it's just...
At 7 mana, legitimately, I want the card that I play to end the game. And the funny thing is, the situation where I can see that playing it main board is correct, and this might be a little bit niche, is when I open my decks, or I open my last pack, and somehow, in that last pack, I somehow get two or three of the 1/5 flyers.
Yeah.
That would be the way. That card.
Yeah, dude.
Absolutely.
Oh, no doubt.
But I don't think that's going to happen all the time.
No, but I, to be fair, I think we're looking at the formats differently.
I'm sure
I'm
blueing
the, okay, you're not red white. You're in right white. You're a mid-range deck.
That's fine. I'll be white blue, whatever you want me to be.
The amount of two drops you have is low. More than likely, if you were the mid-range, not aggro white deck, the amount of drafts I've seen for like the mid-range decks, yeah, they have many two drops.
They tend to start at three.
And
conceding that they start at three.
So your deck's not going to curve like it's going to go, okay, two drop, three drop, four drop, five drop. Like you're going to go three drop, maybe miss a turn on four, play another three drop, then five drop.
Let me just also put this ahead to you. We are still drafting a pack of Scars.
Near Shadows of Innistrad. Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
I do not want to find myself in a situation, which, you know, a lot of these decks that you're talking about do, where they just die to the guy who drafted two of the werewolves
from the
third pack.
I know two drops are key.
You need to have two drops.
I'm aware. Two drops are very key in this format, but two drops are not how you're going to win the game. When you have two packs of this,
you have to position yourself so that you can win the game.
We even said this is a princey format. Your two drops probably aren't going to win the game.
I think when all games play out, it'll tend to be the big rare that goes over the top for the win.
Correct.
I believe that 100%. But if you drop a 4-3 flyer on turn four, I'm sorry, that's pretty big and over the top.
It is.
So yes, that is going to win a lot of limited games. No questions asked there. I truly believe that. But at the same time, I still think there's room for, and you know, yes, I hate to say the black red vampire deck, but it is the best deck in the format
right
now.
It
did not get worse.
No.
This is something that you have to be prepared for to beat.
And not just the black red deck, but a deck that seeks to punish people for playing
for
slow
misses.
For early missteps.
Cause you know, I've seen plenty of people die to the turn two werewolf.
Yeah.
And then it flips. And they just sit there and go, fuck, I don't get to play Magic. I have to play two cards next turn, and I couldn't have cast one last turn. So
yeah, like,
for the next three turns, I'm taking five. Right. Awesome.
I'm not telling you to draft flyer, just slow and bad and just play this to try to win the game. I'm just saying, as one of those two cards is your top end, I'm playing it main deck 100% of the time.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think I will. I think I will play it probably 80%. And I mean, I'm not saying that it's an every type thing, but I mean, I probably won't play at 80. It'll probably be like 60.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at, 60%.
It will be something that, you know, you will consider more, but I still don't think that it's something that you should just be locked in.
Yeah.
Because if you find yourself locked into where you say you're going to play that card 100% of the time, you're going to get punished once or twice.
At least.
Yeah, but like, okay, the Drugstore Cavalry I'd probably play 100% of the time. The Moondrake's probably not, because you're already a team of flyers if you're in blue, probably.
Yeah.
So like, but I don't know. It's just... I
like
feel.
The King of Hearts.
that's Kyle. But I just feel that its value is more than we think it is, in the fact that it's one of those easy to pick up rares.
It is easy
in
to
a
pick
princey
up.
Format.
And absolutely grab it in pack three. I'm not saying you don't grab it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I grab it and put it in my
field,
sideboard.
Is it a main board or sideboard card? Is it one of your first cards off the bench if it is in the sideboard? Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it one, you know, is it also one of the first cards out of the lineup?
Yeah,
it's probably
a 20, 21st playable card.
So what you have
still,
to do is you have to balance out, okay, at this point, what is the percentage of fast decks that I feel I'm going to see in the format? Mm-hmm. Now, I know green decks can punish you. We all know red decks can punish
yeah.
you.
And white
we all know that
white you.
Decks can punish you. So that's three-fifths of the possible colors. So that tells me right there that most of the time, that card should be in the sideboard.
Right.
However, be ready to bring it into the game.
Yeah.
It's not okay. It's not wrong to say, look, I have a sixth man off the bench. Rick Schmitz did it for years in the NBA. I'm going old school.
Yeah.
And you know what? He played 30 out of the 48 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
He just did not have a spot in the starting lineup. That's fine. If that dude gets off of the bench two out of the three games, mm-hmm. that dude's going to be happy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's going to be fine with that. And I'm going to be fine with him being there. But I don't want to lose a game because I put him in a situation
yeah.
where I shouldn't have.
I would rather have this card be the best card in my sideboard, the first card in my sideboard, rather than my 23rd card in my deck.
You get where I'm at now?
I do. It's just like, I think we're just assuming when we go to the table to draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is all really early in the format.
Yeah.
None of us have really drafted any of this.
Look,
we haven't.
I'm just going to be honest with you, Mike. This is play preference. This is two
like,
guys in their 30s that have been playing the game a long time and have had a lot of heartbreaks and a lot of, you know, just having stuff not work out. we just want to make sure everything's consistent. Yeah. And like, you are a very greedy.
I am. I do get. I am very greedy. But
I built the Chromanticore deck exactly zero times.
Same. I never got to open it.
But that wasn't because you built it because you never opened it.
Yeah.
You didn't build it because you opened it and went, nope. I can't do it. I'm not. I know my luck.
This is not me. I'm sorry.
It's just like I'm going to the table assuming maybe two colors are going to get the aggressive deck. I just go to the table assuming two out of the three colors that get aggressive. There are three colors that can be. I'm going to the table assuming not all three colors are going to get the perfect aggressive cards. Because it's draft, it's all random. You're opening random sealed packs.
It is random.
So I go in assuming 2/3 of these colors.
Hey man, you
have
do
the
you.
Aggressive components to
you
them.
You do you.
I mean,
you do you.
I don't hate to see back on what Will said, but we've dealt with a lot more heartbreak in this game than you have, and your luck level is slightly higher than anybody else.
So basically, to give other people in the world advice
all
to play
for.
Like you, Broderick, is going to make people angry at you. Don't give them advice to play like you because only a Broderick can Broderick.
I go for pure consistency and I just, I mean, like, you know, this is why I do this numbers thing.
Yeah.
Because numbers mean everything to me. And when I look at that, I go, yeah, I'm skewing numbers there. And, you know, like, again, I don't mind that card being the first card off of my bench.
I love it as the first card off my bench.
But I don't know that I want him in the starting lineup all the time. Again, there are going to be decks that I put together that I go, yeah, I can stall this game out till turn 7. Dude. The blue-red deck.
Yeah.
You can stall out
forever.
The entire format.
Forever.
Forever. And, yeah, you want that. You want any of the Drake? Sure.
Yeah.
Throw it in there. Fuck yeah. Rock your world late in the game. But
I'll tell you what, though. You mulligan to a 6-card hand with a Moondrake in it.
You're not happy.
Oh, no.
Look at that. It's a mold of 5.
But, I mean, like, at the same time, people were playing Tassiger, Gurmag Angler, and Dark Confidant. Like. Yeah.
And it's also completely different when you walk into the store and you see who you're drafting with as well.
Yeah, fair.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I might sit down with a group of people and go, yeah, I'm going to blow this one off because I know I'm going 2-1 at worst.
Yeah. I mean, it's different when you're thinking about the concept of how to build a very good draft deck, like a Modo draft deck.
If you're trying to build a Modo deck, like, this is the way I think you should do it.
Yeah, like,
but if you're sitting down at your LGS and you know that there's a bunch of derps around you, fucking have fun.
I am going in a
put every 7 drop you want in, bro.
I am going in with a bit of that mentality because I don't do Modo too often.
Yeah.
And it's mostly in store when I'm drafting.
Yeah, trust me. You sit down and do about 6 8-4s in a row, you'll develop the exact same.
Oh, yeah, dude. You'll
because
just get...
a loss is so crippling.
Yeah. It's
deep. you'll develop the exact same line of thinking that I'm coming
How can I get to the third match every time?
That's all it is. How do I get to the third match? I don't care. I just need to get to the third match.
Dude, I'm giving that guy a motherfucking split. Just let me get 2-0. How do I build a 2-0 deck?
That's all I need. But I mean, those are the numbers. We had a little bit of the discussion there about the format.
Got a little bit of length on the episode.
Which is good. We think is going to happen in this format. I'm excited. You guys?
I am very excited. I think that this is a good format to play sealed in, actually.
You know what's funny? I think it is too, but for some reason, and I don't know, I'll blame the show. I'm slightly burnt out on MTG at the moment. I just am, which is strange.
Yeah.
You know,
I have been looking to get into limited again. It's been like almost a month since I drafted.
You need draft.
Yeah, I know. And like, you know, I'm really excited to draft now. Like, I mean, I thought SOI drafted exceptionally well.
I thought it did good.
I think this will draft okay as well, but I think that this feels like a better sealed set to me. You know,
so do I.
You know, it feels like a more classic sealed where it is kind of princey, and I do expect that from sealed.
If I could find more sealed tournaments, I could see that.
This would be a good
really
PTQ format.
Giving me my life, because right now, I'm not going to lie, like, I mean, there's been times recently where it's just like, man, magic.
Fuck. Magic.
You know, it's just one of those, everyone goes through the cycle. It's like, I still love the game, but there's just times where you just go, I don't feel like playing.
I was in one of those 6 months ago. Yeah. And I was just like, take a step away.
And part of it might be, and this is where I really think it comes from, is I put so much effort into that GP.
Yeah.
And playing standard, which is a format I don't really care for.
No doubt.
And it wasn't limited, and I put so much effort into it, and then I went there and caught bad beat after bad beat after bad beat. I just like, you know what? fuck it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's definitely a good time to just sit down and recharge your batteries. Or
yeah, and luckily I got new games. Yeah. You know, I still, you know, I played a little bit of Hearthstone this week. And,
sweet.
You know, I got Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So, you know, I got other things going on. So, but I'm still going to always keep my love.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We're going to take a real quick break and we will return in, I don't know, when we get back. How about that? All right, so the nice people down at Titan Game Shop was nice enough to donate to us an MTG Mox Cube, which we are going to raffle off. There's going to be a couple ways that you can enter into this raffle, but for every $2 that you go ahead and put in, you will receive one entry. For every $10 you put in, you will receive seven. This is a roughly, you can find them on the internet for about $90, so it's a pretty nice gift. What the Mox Cube is it is a huge box, basically. It's a storage box, but it is like the perfect thing to keep your personal cube in. I hope that we get a lot of people who jump in on this. The ways that you can enter are as follows. You can send a direct email if you have a PayPal account to pitimppodcast@gmail.com, and as soon as you send that email, I will, you know, write down who you are on a piece of paper and throw it into the huge cookie jar, I guess you could call it, candy jar, which we're going to shake up live on the air. If you don't have PayPal, you can go to twitch.tv/pit_imps, and there's a huge imp on that page. You just click on that imp. You can go ahead and donate that way. I'll receive a record that you did donate. Again, I will get a piece of paper, I'll rip it up, I'll put your name on it, it'll go into the cookie jar / candy jar thingy-ma-doo. We're going to go ahead and choose the name live on the air at twitch.tv/pit_imps, and I think we're going to let this raffle go until the end of July. So it'll be like the first episode in August is when we will go ahead and pull our winner. So please, this is a great way to support the show. And you might get something out of it. If we get enough people, I'm going to throw in some playmats. I know I have a Titan Game Shop playmat I can throw in. And I also have multiple other playmats from going to multiple GPs over the years that I can throw in as well. So if we get enough people, it won't just be one person getting a prize. I will actually give them out to like three people. So please, 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 if you can, help support the show by doing this. And, you know, who knows? You might get something cool out of it. Now back to the show. So we have returned for the final portion of the show, where we talk about Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Will.
Yep.
Will's phone says that he sucks.
Yep. My phone told me that I was too retarded to play. No, my phone is not capable of carrying the game, which is unfortunate because I did leave here and go try and download it last week.
Oh, I bet you did.
I did.
It seemed like everything you would like in a game.
Well, and
where it's just get out and walk around.
I like everything except the fact that it's Pokemon. If I can picture it as being something else in my head, I will be fine. Liz is also, my girlfriend Liz is very excited to play it as well, so I think we're gonna try and be playing it in the fall, hopefully. And
we'll
we'll catch the fuck up Alliens in the winter, motherfuckers. We'll be out there grinding in the snow and ice.
See, the problem is there's a lot of players right now who are grinding in the car.
That's cheating.
That's what I say. They're all cheating.
I thought that if
you're going over 15 miles an hour, it doesn't register, but.
So if you just turp and fucking.
So if you just dirtle around town.
So there's literally guys driving around like that one old Greek guy who used to drive around down here and never stop in any fucking stop sign ever.
It
was full of junk everywhere. So that's what they're doing?
Yeah.
They're just like putzing and just fuck you.
Because the thing is, they want it to be fast enough that you could ride a bike.
Right.
Okay. And still, you know, get your credit for that. But they didn't want it to be car speed. So I found out the real speed was 15 miles an hour.
I can ride a bike faster than 15 miles.
I know, but your normal person doesn't.
I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah. I mean, you're going balls out if you're going.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, yeah. If I'm trying to play, I mean, I can't play Pokemon while I'm doing that.
No. No.
I mean, why you just get one of those phone mounts for between your hands.
Dude, there's no way I'm taking my hand off when I'm going faster than 15. I mean, they're all.
I can imagine me going down College Hill, which is perfectly paved.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get a bike up 30, 35 miles an hour, and I am not taking my hands off the handle.
No, if you're going that fast.
I mean, a popcorn fart will make you wreck it that point. That's the last thing I want is one of those, you know. But, yeah, I mean, me and Mike's been playing this game.
Yeah, we didn't get our talk last week.
We didn't get our talk last week, and how are you doing, Mike?
I'm up to level 20, about halfway through.
I am halfway through on one side of it.
Okay.
I have caught more than 75 Pokemon.
I think I'm at 77, 78.
Okay, so we're at the same spot. There,
most,
so
like fine. A lot of mine from evolution and eggs, but like, that's like how you're gonna get a lot of them actually.
I think so.
Like the Aerodactyls unless you go into the city.
I've gotten one 10k egg and I just got it today and I already have something else in my incubator and it's not like I'm pulling that out to put it in.
You get more incubators at certain levels.
I know, but I've used them all up.
You get two at level 20.
Okay, well.
Plus 20 Ultra Balls.
Still a little bit of ways than that.
Yeah.
I'm only at a high 17.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually haven't played that much in like the last week. It's kind of bad because I was like at 15 last week and I only gained two levels. And for a while there I was gaining two a day, no problem.
Yeah.
I knew it would slow down because the numbers get so high, but I legitimately just have not been playing as much. Like, I need to get over to Beaver to do a fill-up.
Yeah, I need to do that as well. Jesse and I did that before the pre-release Friday night. We offered for you, but you would work. You needed...
I need to sleep. Like, I mean, look at these marks.
Yeah.
That's from Crawl of Spaces. Just bruises everywhere. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, but, like, I haven't been playing as much recently as well because the steps are bugged. Where you can't really track anything.
That's another reason. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck.
Like, I'll pop an incense on if I'm going out for like a half hour to walk and get miles on eggs.
Dude, I chased an Electabuzz for a half hour the other night.
I did that with the Scyther and the Charmander.
Okay. I had it all the way up to the first slot in my nearby list and could not get the thing to show up.
Same. Same thing with the Scyther.
But it was three steps, so I don't know how close that actually was. That could have been the first thing in my slot, but it was still two steps away for all I knew, you know? And it's like, I just went in every direction and I'm like, it's not showing up.
Yeah, like, I have been with a Scyther and a Charmander. I'm like, I really want these. I don't work in the morning. Screw it. I'm going out walking for a half hour.
Yeah.
Did work they out vanished. Like, when Buttercup dropped me off, I get in my room, I check it, and I'm like, there's two Pikachus nearby. I'm not tracking them. I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I actually
said Pikachu.
Today I turned it on and there was one in my living room. I was like, word. It's the first one I've even seen. I'm like, this is what's up.
Yeah, like I went out to get dinner last night.
Yeah.
And like I just got Chinese like by Walmart in Chippewa from the buffet. I get in my car. I'm like, you know
Shocker.
What? I'll load it up. Let's see what's here. Nothing like on my list is like Pidgeys, Rattatas, Weedles, like basic. And it's like, why did an Eevee, Vulpix, and Scyther pop up? Like, it's, what's on your nearby list is not what's gonna show up.
No, it's not. It's, the game is fucked right now.
Yeah,
there's no way around it.
Oh. I'll go to gyms, and like, I'll walk to hatch eggs, but like.
Yeah, for that. I'll do that too.
Like, I guarantee you can find a Pidgey, Rattata, and Weedle though.
Absolutely. for some of the people, because I've realized that this hasn't gotten around yet.
Yeah, some countries are getting it this week or next week, I believe.
Yeah, but. It hasn't gotten around about the evolution of Eevee. You could force Evolver. No, you can. The people who have done it.
Sparky and that?
Yes.
I did that. It worked successfully for my Jolteon, my Flareon. Nicknamed the next two Eevees Sparky, got a Vaporeon, Flareon.
Did you close out of the system, flip back in, and make sure that it registered on their servers?
I did not know you had to do that.
You have to do that. That's the part that everyone's failing to recognize.
Yeah.
Just because you put it in there and it says it on your screen doesn't mean that their servers has registered it. You have to close out, come back in.
I did not know about that.
And make sure that it reads. So the thing is, if everybody who I've talked to who have done that has 100% success rate, IGN is saying that this is legit. So basically, if you name your Eevee Sparky, click out, close the app. Don't
relaunch
just click
it.
Out of it. Yeah, close it completely, relaunch it. Your Eevee will evolve when you give it the 25 things into Jolteon. Pyro?
For Flareon.
For Flareon. And Rainer. R-A-I-N-E-R.
Like rain with E-R.
Yeah, and make sure you...
Like Rainier. Like the mountain. Yeah.
And make sure that you put a capital letter at the beginning of these.
And for those who don't know what those are... From the original TV show, those were the Eevee brothers' names.
Yeah, episode 51.
Episode 50 was when Togepi was introduced.
Was it? No, that was before 51, though.
Yeah, it
was way before. In the 30s.
It was in the 30s because it was right when he went to the
Who cares?
It's when he went to the trainer's
school. Who
the
fuck cares?
So they showed a picture
of my god. And then it was like, Pikachu, do you want to transform into a Raichu? And he's like, Pika, because that's all I fucking say.
No.
God damn it.
They asked,
are we done with this yet?
Almost. No. Because that episode, they showed a picture of a round circle blurred out.
Jelly.
They're like, okay, it's a Voltorb, but you know, a circle blurred out. No, it's a Jigglypuff viewed from above.
Shut up.
I hated that episode.
Anyway, so yeah, you can do that for those who are on the game. But aside from that, Will, what the hell have you been up to?
Not playing Pokemon Go.
Clearly.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're probably going to talk about this weekly.
Yeah, no, and it's cool. And I mean, me and Mike both play.
We play.
I think that it is a well-designed game. I think that it is terrific, and I highly endorse it. I think that everyone should be playing it, and I think that this is going to become the most imitated game over the next 10 years.
It kills me, the haters online. Yep. You know, who bitch about, like, it's like, these are the same people who are bitching, why aren't kids getting outside and playing? And it's like, now they're outside playing and they're bitching about them being out there. It's like, you people would bitch about anything, shut the fuck
up. Exactly, that's just the internet.
And it's like, you know, the same people who fucking, you know, all my Facebook's feed is full of fucking
Pokemon stuff.
It's like, well, now you know how I feel when you're playing your fucking D&D campaign for non-athletic fucking stupid people who have no originality.
Or
also
when
known as fantasy football.
Dude.
I mean, it's like, dude, don't hate. We deal with it with your shit.
Hey, we can't send a app request for you to play it like you can with Candy Crush.
Oh my God.
Oh, thank you.
Thank God.
Thank you for that. so I, let's see, I left here on Tuesday. I went to the pre-release. I hiked, Brady's Run Park for about, 4.5 miles last Friday night.
Sweet.
Sweet. You know, with like Dan Beckman, Kenny Beckman, Pete Buttercup, and like Liz and some other guy they work with. So it was a big crew. Oh,
nice hike.
And, good crew.
Were they playing Pokemon?
No.
You can't in that park.
You can't in the park.
Yeah, we did go down and try.
There's a gym in the park, though.
Yeah, there is, but you lose your cell reception in that park so horribly.
Probably what you want to do is just walk around the mile paved loop. That's where I do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah.
So, went to the pre-release, afterwards played Booze Cube.
Yeah, I know Dave didn't join you for that.
Yeah,
I wanted to.
He come get me.
Yeah, he was like, this was just Saturday night.
Yeah.
I thought he was in Chicago.
Right, he was. That's why he didn't come play.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave had a busy weekend. Let's see. Booze Cube, I went like mono black, splashing blue red for Nicole fucking Bolas, and I got to make, dude, we all got hammered. We played two rounds of Booze Cube and got hammered. It was great. Liz won her first Booze Cube, which was sweet. And then Sunday played golf. Monday and Tuesday I worked.
Awesome.
I fucking worked. I got.
You're all red.
I know. I mean, I've been outside in the sun for like 4 days in a row. Yeah. So, I worked, and then after work, I went to the West Penn or West Hills par three play all day pitching.
West Penn's a jail, dude.
Yeah, sorry. West Hills par three, for, $5, and I played 32 holes, 30, something like that of par three golf.
Sweet.
So,
par three golf's fun.
I love it. You know,
it's almost a pitch and putt. Like, fuck it. It's just fun.
I mean, there's a 200-yard hole. I got to hit my 4-iron.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a little bit more than a pitch and putt, but it's not that much different.
It's great. Yeah. And
it's definitely where you go to hit your lower irons.
It's a good,
you don't need anything bigger than a 7.
There's a 200-yard.
I'd say 5.
Still go 7 there.
Nothing bigger than a 5.
Yeah.
Probably.
I hit my 3-iron on it and I was.
Well, if I hit it good, I can get a 7 200 yards.
Yeah,
I just only hit it good about 10%
of the
time.
I top mine out about 160.
Andrew, you're losing percentages.
Yeah.
Nothing bigger than a 5-iron.
I'm bad at golf. I accept that.
I'll tell you what, man, my 4-iron has just been working better than anything recently. It's just,
I've fell in love with.
Man, I've been hitting it in the fairway off the tee box, and I hit a 105 this week. I finally played a game for money of golf this week and won, which was great.
Nice.
On the last hole.
With Kenny Beckman. I was witness.
We were tied through 17 holes, and I drained a 7 or 8 foot birdie putt, but bogey putt, and he missed his from the same distance. So it's a pretty sweet way to win a dollar.
Hell yeah.
But, I'm working tomorrow again, which is good. So I think that, you know, we're getting pretty close to August, and my boss really liked the fact that I went back out after it rained on Monday, which no one else does.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be getting some more work, which is great, because I was getting really scared. I was good, and then I bought this car, and I spent all my savings on it, and then I didn't get work for 2 weeks, so I was terrified. But we're good now. Life is great. And, cool. It's good. Yeah. Good to be here.
Yeah. I even got a couple of days work. I was doing electrical for 3 days. Here's the thing. Like, the guy I was working with, he was in charge. He got these jobs. So I was kind of subbing with him. And he doesn't like heights, and he's an electrician. So who's going up the ladder for you?
I don't know.
So like you can just use your imagination on what you need to be 40 feet up a ladder while doing electricity, details you doing. Because legally, I can't say it on the air because I'm not a licensed electrician.
Yeah. I'm sure you were using every OSHA approved safety procedure.
Yeah, all that was
there were probably like wires and belts stuff.
And all that, good. Yeah, I mean, that was fine. It was just the whole, there's certain things that non-electricians aren't supposed to mess with.
I know.
Are there the wires stuff things?
Well, there's wires everywhere. Yeah. That's part of electric.
Yeah.
There
are wires
good
involved.
Answer. Yeah. Good that. Answer. Let's see it on the board.
Right? Dude, I was watching Family Feud the other day and was like, it was like the pie is in the blank. And Snoop Dogg was on there and he said horse.
Good answer, Snoop. Good Zero. Answer. Oh,
God. Anyway, so like then I had to do that. And then the next day, which he paid me that day, I was like, oh, cool. And then we finished that job.
Nice.
The way he pays is when the job's done, I pay you for everything you've done. Fine. So we started another job on Friday, which spilled over to Monday. But, that job was a lot of climbing through crawl spaces. One of them was, like where we knocked down a wall, so there was just like crushed cinder block all through.
Nice.
Oh, dude, my knees are so tore up from that. And the other one was in the attics where, it's an old school attic. It's not like one that you can live in.
I would not have wanted to be in an attic on Monday.
Just R12 everywhere, yeah, just hot as balls.
Balls, fucking all over that pink bullshit fiberglass
moving
insulation.
Moving it around, drill holes.
The worst.
Yeah.
Earning that money.
It was terrible. So, I made a couple bucks and that's really what mattered. It was like I got 3 days of work out of it. Doesn't look like nothing for a couple more days, but he has a huge job coming up in Ambridge.
Hey, man.
The type of job that he said, I'll have to pay you weekly because it's going to take 2-3 weeks.
That's great.
And I was like, I'm not waiting 3 weeks to get fucking paid.
That's exactly what you wanted to hear.
That's coming up. And then the guy who hired him for that, he owns a big construction, magnate.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Ambridge, and
so if he does well for this,
he's already talked to me about possibly getting me in for what I'm good at.
Oh, nice!
Which is painting and some landscaping and some stuff like that. And he was like, "I'll pay you $15 an hour, cash, and a day." I'm like, "All right,
that sounds like the job.
Sounds like a plan. I can make that work. For a while at least." There's that. Aside from that, again, I've been playing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Still
on Skyrim?
Yes, still playing Skyrim.
Yeah.
I've been playing a bunch of Warcraft 3.
I have exactly 2 missions left before I beat the Alduin vein on the Skyrim game.
Okay, yeah.
Which, if I don't get sidetracked, which is very possible on that game.
Very possible.
You've never beaten Alduin, right?
No, I've done everything else on that game. I just never finished that mission.
I like the finish. I think it's good.
Yeah. Like, I'm at the point where you go to Sovngarde. And I've made it to this point multiple times. And I'm always like, no, I need to finish this before I do that.
Wait, Sovngarde. Oh, dude, that one's sweet. That's the last two missions in the game.
Yeah,
it's a little bit more than that.
No, it's 2.
Yeah, okay, I guess it's,
they're long missions.
They're very long. There's lots of subquesting.
Yeah, so I have that.
Good.
So I have that going on. I should, by next week, beat the game.
Good for you.
And finally say that I have beaten it because I've already done everything else, including the DLCs.
Plus, the game came out so long ago, you haven't been able to beat the main story.
I've had 300 hours in multiple characters. Like, yeah. I have legendary 150 characters.
Wow,
like level 150
stupid.
Characters. And I just was just like never got around to doing it. It wasn't that I couldn't. It was just eh. And then because it's on PS3, once you get so strong, the way their machine's set up, Skyrim, it doesn't work perfectly with it. So it would just like start glitching on me so hard that I couldn't go do them finally. It was like, fuck it. Anyway, Mike, what have you been up to?
Last week I wasn't running into things. Yeah, that was last week, last Tuesday. For those who don't know, I was in a car accident.
Everyone knows.
Oh, we made it very clear that everyone knew.
But I'm talking about like if they didn't,
I even named the show Crash.
It inconvenienced me, Mike.
Because
they know
some,
that too.
Hey, some people don't always get it week to week. Some people end up missing a week.
I know, and those people can go fuck themselves. Yeah. You should be here weekly.
But no, I'm okay. Currently looking for a car, borrowing one from my uncle for now.
That's sweet that you have family that could do that for you. Like I know if my car.
Is that a Celtic name for now? I've never heard of that.
For now. Yeah, it's Celtic.
But
he's had 2 weeks to pick on you.
He's
got to get it in.
Surprisingly, it was light for me missing last week.
Yeah, we could have hammered you, but of course.
Well, you had a real issue.
Been playing some Pokemon Go as well, like, not as much lately because the servers have been good, for the most part. But then the step meter is just bad. So, yeah, did the pre-releases, we talked about that, those are fun, working, still that. Probably gonna be looking for either a second part-time job or another full-time job soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I can help buy another car.
Sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, that'll eat up a lot of your free time though.
Yeah.
You won't be going as much.
No. Well, I can go to hatch eggs at work.
Yeah,
because all I do is walk.
You should be able to hatch at least.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm at work. Like, I'll just.
So then you just start riding your bicycle to work.
I should.
Yeah. Get one of those
handlebar
mounts.
Yeah, lose a little bit of that.
get one of those handlebar mounts. Motherfucker. Fuck you.
I will, just to spite you.
Good. You should. And you'll look great for it.
I will. I definitely do need to start hitting the gym soon.
That was a lot of I wills, Will.
Well, his name is Will, and it followed after the...
I know, but there's a lot of that, like, Will. One, like, bang, 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 bang. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will.
That's my word. Well, that's the word of the day. Will. That's the word of the day that we didn't announce that.
Oh, yeah, drink.
I can't.
Go back to when it started and drink every time he says Will.
Yes.
And but, then... don't sue us.
Yeah. If you're going to sue us, please drink every time you sue us.
And D&D is still fun. We had to nerf my character.
Ah. Good.
Guns are bad.
Wait, this character had a gun?
I'm a gunslinger.
So he went from shooting a flintlock pistol 5 times in a 6 second, 2 flintlock pistols.
3 times. One and 2 on another.
So, like, magic missiles whenever he wants.
Very bad. Yeah. So he's become more of a swashbuckler now with a rapier. Mm-hmm. And he's like a very...
He's a pirate!
That was actually pirate. My backstory, was a pirate.
He's a monkey pirate.
Sweet. So what you should make him do is if the only gun you should give him is a Bluster Bus, which takes an immediate amount of time.
No, it doesn't, because the rules aren't like that. You can...
Reload takes forever on that thing.
You would think that, but according to the rules of the game...
I get a free action reload.
You can reload...
That's how I was shooting so much.
It's stupid.
They were free actions.
It's stupid. So what I've done is he can only reload once in a 6 second time, and that involves him having a tail, and that's the only reason I'm even giving it to him.
Okay.
But he gets the pistol whip.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which can knock prone if I hit.
I mean, are you, like, you know, using the knife on the end of your guns as well?
No. He does not have a dagger pistol.
And the reason why I can't use...
I was thinking bayonet. I couldn't think of
it. They call it a dagger pistol.
Yeah.
That's what the item name is.
Yeah, I can't use a blunderbuss or a musket because I'm a pistolero. I can only use pistols.
Huzzah! Okay.
Yep. That's life.
Mm-hmm. That is life.
It is.
So, anything else?
No. What's our next segment?
Our next segment is shout-outs.
Okay.
Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I do. Shout-out to Buttercup for the ride on Friday night, and Jesse for the ride up.
Yeah, he's stealing one of mine there.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm also going to give a shout-out to Buttercup.
Shout-out to Will for the ride down on Saturday.
And the ride back?
Yes.
Ha! Okay.
I almost left him there.
He forgot.
I got sidetracked. I saw Steve, my old roommate.
I've been running into him here and there. He asked me to talk to you.
Yeah.
Next time, and then you've run into him, so that's good.
Yeah, the Beckmans were still there. Shout out to them as well. And like, they had just walked out the door, so I'm like, okay, Will's probably outside smoking, and they're going outside. And then like, 2 minutes later, I got a call from Will. Am I still your ride home? I look outside, I'm like, yes.
I was in front of Maro's.
Oh, he was the way.
I was, you know, Steve, he apologized.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I wanted to join those guys for Booze Cube a lot, but Mom's like, you know, you were out late and you have to work on Sunday morning. It's like, well, I could have got out there fine because they ended up golfing Sunday morning and would have been there.
Okay.
She just didn't want me going out.
I'm just going to ask this question. How old are you?
23.
And you're listening to your mom.
I live at home. The car was under her name.
No. And then told
I get this. I get
you know, for the next 2 weeks, Broderick is going to be a good son.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
but he always is.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the issue is. Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm always perfect.
One of these days, you got to jump out of that diner.
I know.
And you got to go get yourself into another piece.
I would like to give a shout out to Mr. John Groff, who returned from the hell that is Nebraska.
Yeah, I want to see him now that he's back. I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I went down. I had some beers with him last night down at the back door.
Sweet.
It was good. He
is very scraggly.
Yeah, his goatee and hair.
She said.
It's crazy. It's like, this is the first time I've ever seen it where his hair is long enough to touch his.
Yeah, he usually kept his hair close to where I've always kept my mm-hmm. hair, and now my hair's long too, and that's
messing
with
I know,
head.
Dude, it's fucking with me, man. It's definitely fucking with me.
Yeah, sorry.
It's cool. I'm getting old. Everyone else around me is getting younger.
Well, that's just it. Like, I don't know if this is my midlife crisis or not, but like, you know, I decided to grow my hair back.
Good for you.
For the first time since I was
good. Good for you.
20 years old?
Yeah, it's good.
19?
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about your Facebook, you can't quite grow a pompadour.
No, my hair is just too straight and too lay flatty for me to grow a pompadour without having to put in a ton of product.
Yeah, you're going to have to use an actual pomade. And pomade yes. is serious stuff. It takes 2 or 3 showers to wash pomade out.
Yeah, and I don't want to have to do that. Like, I don't have the natural born afro where I could just be like, boom, pompadour.
I sported a pompadour. When I went through my greaser phase, it was pretty sweet. I was definitely a greaser for like 2.5 years.
So I need to give a shout out to Buttercup as well. I mean, he rode me down to Titan and, you know.
Dude, Buttercup's the man.
And was, and me, you know, he was spotter on the spot for us, which, you know, thank God. Cause like when John was like, we might not have a spotter tonight. I'm like, we might not be doing this then.
Yeah.
He's like, we just won't put life totals up. People won't watch this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So like, yeah, but. You know, I gotta give him a big shout out for that. You know, shout out to everybody else who wants one. There you go.
Take it.
If you wanted to get a hold of me, get a hold of me at Gonksu on Twitter. There's GANKSUOU. Same thing on Magic Online when I am on there, which isn't very often anymore. And also Gonksu number 1322. That is where you can find me on Hearthstone, which I get on there every day.
You sure?
It might be 2 days since the last time I was on. But I'm basically on there every day for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, it seems like Ghost taking your time for now.
I like to update my quests. So I usually jump on at least once a day. So, there's that. If you also could get a hold of me at pitentpodcast@gmail.com. Will, how do people find you?
Well, you know, honestly, your best chance of finding me is to, come here next week. I was gonna give away my girlfriend's, I'll go ahead and do it, but. Is like, yeah, here, go and stalk my girlfriend on Hearthstone. Please don't. But she's Sapphira, 1419.
That's also you though, too.
It's me. It's me half the time account. Too. Yeah, it is. We share it.
I can tell who's on there just by who's playing, what's playing.
We have a couple different decks, for sure. But the best way to see my beautiful face would be to come, to twitch.tv/pit_imps. And come check us out next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard motherfucking time. And see how awesome I am. And also these other two guys. But like, come on, we all know you're going to be looking in the left hand, the right hand, I mean.
Yeah, you're here for him. We know that.
Yeah.
Mike, how are people going to hold you short of owning a tow truck?
Oh, shit. He said tow truck.
Wow.
I mean, the wreck, a tow truck was involved. B, you had to be towed away. I mean, tow trucks in your life, I mean, it's going together right
now.
Yeah. If you own a tow truck in Western PA, you probably have seen him.
Yeah. But you can hold me on Facebook, our Facebook group. Like, we're all on there. Will's on there every once in a while when he gets internet access. He scrolls through, sometimes pops his head in.
What, to Facebook?
Yeah.
I haven't been on the site in several months.
Well, no, like
there
when you
go.
Sorry. I'm sorry, I don't have...
Well, you could also try to join our Pokemon Go Walking Idiots.
Yeah, that is a group.
Or Pokemon Go, Walking Idiots, as my brother thought it was.
He thought it was Pokemon, Go Walking Idiots. I wrote it as Pokemon Go Walking Idiots. And everyone reads it differently.
Yeah. I think both are fine.
They both work.
You can hold me on Twitter @Huntmaster_Mike.
Nate the Gnat's back.
Yeah.
Just flying around Mike.
But, yeah, I'm not really on MTGO or Hearthstone as much anymore.
Yeah.
You can't really add friends on Pokemon Go.
Yet. That's coming, they say, but they still gotta fix Team Valor. So they can get Japan to actually get to download it.
Hashtag Team Valor.
But Japan doesn't have Pokemon?
No, they had to postpone their, they were supposed to be released 2 days ago. They had to postpone their release because their servers are being fried by what's there now.
Wow.
They just don't have the server space to accept a whole other region of the world.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially a densely populated one.
Yeah.
I can't believe Japan didn't go first.
Yeah, so.
It was Australia.
It was Australia and New Zealand for some reason.
Yeah.
It's because Niantic is the creator.
To be fair, there are tons of wild Pokemon in New Zealand. They roam freely.
Kangaskhan's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Team Mystic. Next week.
We all make bad choices in life.
And you
it's
did.
It's okay.
And it's fine. We understand that,
Mike. With the accident, yeah, I did mess up then.
Team Valor are a bunch of racists.
No, they're not.
Yes, they actually are.
Have I said racist comments on this show?
Not on the show.
You've said
but
more
you know
on the show than I. You said more on the show
I'm
than I.
I'm true to who I am. I don't have to hide myself. Like
I don't
you do.
Hide it.
Oh yeah. Anyway,
I might say some D&D racism at that point, but that's role playing when I'm doing it.
Oh, okay. All right. It's funny because the other day he was like, "Yeah, you guys and Team Mystic, you're the Hillary Clinton of the Pokemon." It's
that
like,
was
well,
over
guys,
a week ago.
You
that was
guys,
almost 2 weeks ago.
Oh, a week ago, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't count because
that was 2 weeks
been,
ago.
Since then, he's been in a car wreck, so it never happened, right?
Yeah, it never did. I don't remember.
Short-term
it.
Memory loss.
Yeah.
yeah. So you know, I'm gonna say, like, you guys are the Donald Trump, blue, red. Duh. Anyway,
and
so,
then those fucking yellow mouth breathers.
Yeah, I mean, just working on instincts. Anyway. Next week we are going to go over the SCG Columbus standard event. So we're going to get to see if these
I wish I
touch
could go.
Standard. So do I. Kinda, you know, like I kind of want to go give it a go.
I probably would have tried to go if I didn't have that access.
If I had the
last
cards
week.
I wanted to, I would love to go.
I think I'm only missing 9, so I wouldn't be, well, for my main deck. I don't know, I haven't even the sideboard finished yet, but.
Well, I don't think you can. I think you need to take the next couple of days to really study.
Well, yeah, if
possible decks, and you're going to have to be prepared for the new fork.
I wouldn't care.
But we will find out what that is next
week.
Well,
that's why you go and find
but
out.
But until next week, I got wrestling to watch, Mike.
So do I.
it's
cock or nothing.
Fuck it all.
Have a good one, folks. Go fuck yourself.